So look at this. I've talked about I don't know for about 50 minutes so far. We're doing pretty good. I also brought something with me that I wrote a few weeks ago, which I think is really helpful. And yeah, there's a lot that I don't know, which I think is really helpful and is right on target for this discussion. This was something brought to me by the Holy Spirit as well. I mean, everything is, but sometimes you can almost see it a little more clearly than other times. You can say, wow, that was really Holy Spirit at work. A friend from Australia wrote, and she asked me, please write about assumptions. That's all she said, which was really kind of funny, because usually when people write to me and they want something, they tell me a story. You know, they tell me what's going on in their life and why they have this request. And when she wrote, she didn't have a story. She just said, please write about assumptions. And I was like, I had no idea what to write about. And so basically what I did is I wrote back to her and I said, well, if Holy Spirit gives me anything on assumptions, I'll write about it, you know. Then the strangest thing happened. I fell back to sleep. And that was very unusual for me, because when I get up in the morning, I'm typically up for the day. But that morning I fell back to sleep. And when I woke up, I knew all this stuff about assumptions that I didn't know before. And I immediately went to the computer and wrote out what I had woken up with. And basically, and this is not, I don't think this is according to the dictionary. I didn't look it up in the dictionary, but this is what I would call the Holy Spirit's definition of assumptions. And it might vary greatly from what the dictionary says if you look it up. Holy Spirit said, or this insight told me, that assumptions are anything we think we know that isn't true. An assumption is anything that we think we know that isn't true. Now, if you take that at the level of metaphysical mind, what that really means is by far the vast majority of what we think is an assumption. For example, I think I'm sitting here talking into a microphone right now, and Holy Spirit has definitely told me that isn't true, so that would be defined as an assumption. The fact that I think I'm talking into a microphone right now would be an assumption. Anything that we think we know that isn't true. And that's close to the dictionary too, Dave is saying. Okay, good. So, but Holy Spirit did say there are some things we can say I know too. Now, this isn't I know with a capital K knowledge, but it's I know within the experience of the world, because knowing these few things are helpful to us. And like I've given you a few things I know tonight, like I know to trust the Holy Spirit, I know to trust myself, I know to want only what the Holy Spirit wants, I know to let go of the ego. Some other examples that were given to me through this insight were I know to watch my mind, I know to surrender to Holy Spirit and let go of my own thinking. I know that the thoughts I accept into my mind create my experience. These are things that I can say I know with a little k within this experience of the illusion, because they're helpful to me. So Holy Spirit has said it's okay to say I know to those things. Another thing that Holy Spirit said it's okay to say I know to is my internal guidance. So I can say, I know that I am to plan a conference with Pamela, because that is guidance I felt in a very strong way. And in fact, let me just tell you what that looked like, because I know a lot of people still don't recognize guidance. So I like to share stories on how guidance comes. And it comes in a lot of different ways, but every time I share the story, it might be more helpful to someone else. In this particular case with the conference, I started feeling to plan a conference. It just started showing up in me as a feeling. I started feeling to plan a conference. But the funny thing about it was I was also feeling at the same time not to do anything yet. So I had a feeling to plan a conference, and B, a feeling not to do anything yet. And I literally just walked around with this feeling for about 2 months, this feeling, and I never knew when anything would happen, if anything would happen. And then one day the phone rings and it's Pamela. And she says, you know, Regina, I've received guidance to plan a conference, and I'm feeling that you're supposed to plan it with me. Immediately, yes, because I already knew that. Yes, Pamela, I will do that. So I know I am to plan a conference with Pamela. There's no question in my mind. So Holy Spirit has said when we receive something as guidance, we can say, I know to that. Again, that's with the little K. Oh, Pamela says she knew for 2 months too, but it took her 2 months to say yes, so that's why I had to wait. That's funny, Pamela. I didn't know that. Okay, so we probably received the guidance right about the same time. And I was just waiting on you to say yes. That cracks me up. Okay. All right. Anyway, but one thing Holy Spirit said, you know, again, we can say I know to our own guidance. I know that I'm to do this. But one mistake that we make is we receive our guidance, I know I am to plan a conference, or I know I am to go to this conference, right? But then what we do is we run with it, with our thinking mind. We receive the guidance, but then we start adding stuff on top of it. And the Holy Spirit said that stuff that we add on top without additional guidance, those are assumptions. So for example, if I know I am to go to a conference, and then, you know, I'm invited to be there as a teacher, so I know that because that's how they invited me. But then I start thinking that probably when I get there, there are going to be people who are going to want to meet me. That's an assumption. When I think that there are going to be people there that are going to have questions for me, that's an assumption. All this stuff that the imagination starts piling on top are assumptions. And what the Holy Spirit said to me in this insight was that really what we want to do when we receive guidance is we want to stick with the guidance and then wait for additional guidance. So I know I am to plan a conference. That's all I know. Anything else I'm to know about it, Holy Spirit will give me when the time comes. Oh, Pam called. Now I know I am to plan a conference with Pam. And then wait for the next guidance. Oh, now I know this. Now I know this. And we wait for it to come instead of making it up with our assumptions. And in fact, this particular writing about assumptions, which seemed to come to me through a friend, through a friend's request, actually was so helpful to me because I was going to a conference and I did know I was to go. I did know that. That was my guidance. But I had in my mind imagined that, you know, I was going to be a speaker and there were going to be people there who wanted to meet me and there were going to be people there that had questions for me, blah, blah, blah. I was seeing myself as the teacher at this conference, which in a way was my formal role. But still, despite the fact that I was going there as a teacher, despite the fact that was my formal role, Holy Spirit had never really said that was why he was sending me there. You know, I hadn't heard that. That's just what was getting me there, you could say. And so after I wrote this writing on assumptions, I started looking at this conference in my mind and started looking at my assumptions about the conference, and I decided to undo them in my mind. I decided to go back from thinking I knew why I was going to the conference, and I decided to say, I don't know. I know I'm going to a conference. I know I have been invited to teach, so I know I will be doing that. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know why Holy Spirit is sending me here. That was what was really important for me. I don't know why Holy Spirit is sending me to this conference. And so I went to the conference with a completely different state of mind when I went with the I don't know. And that was really wonderful because what happened to me at this conference was that someone showed up for me who happened to be a teacher for me. And if I had not cleared my mind, I would have missed my own teacher because he showed up as a student. Student, if we're going to use just those two words, teacher, student, he showed up as a student. I don't think that's entirely accurate, but I think it's good for this discussion. He showed up to ask me questions. You know, he showed up to ask me questions. And if I had my teacher hat on and thought that was my purpose, I would have thought that all I was to do was answer his questions, and I would have walked away and never, ever noticed what he came to teach me. I could have missed it completely. But because I went there with an I don't know mind, and I maintained that I don't know why I'm here mindset the entire time I was there, I was open to it when I heard Holy Spirit say in my mind, listen to him. I mean, that's literally what I heard, listen to him. And when I started listening to him, I started learning way beyond anything I think I could have taught him. But I would have missed that if I hadn't let go of my assumptions. Do you see what our assumptions do? They kill our opportunities because we think we know something. We always have to let go of what we think we know. I can say I know I'm supposed to go to this place, but I got to be real careful what I add to that. I can say I know I'm supposed to plan this conference, but I got to be real careful what I add to that. I really want to stay with only what I know and let Holy Spirit reveal the rest to me at the right time. I want to stay with I don't know a whole lot more than the few little I knows that I have, because it's my I don't know that opens my eyes to what is there. It's my I don't know that allows the Holy Spirit to come through me, or allows the Holy Spirit to come to me through someone or something else. And it's the I know that blocks the Holy Spirit out, because the majority of our I knows are the ego. So I know I am to plan a conference, but I don't know why. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is giving this to me for. And what I want to do is remain open through the entire process for the gift of the Holy Spirit that is absolutely and certainly there, or else the Holy Spirit never would have given it to me. Let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. Yeah, Dove, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Regina. Hi, everybody. Talking about assumptions, I've played through Awakenings from Friday, which is really what the seminal opening for this evening is, and I played it three or four times. I think it was only today. I played it three times on Friday, and I played it once on Saturday. I think, well, I think you even played it once today. It was today, talking about assumptions, that I actually heard you say that when I'm teaching, even though I'm teaching these concepts from A Course in Miracles, like the concepts we find in the teacher's manual, which is what you were teaching on Friday, that it isn't that I'm teaching myself to learn these concepts, because they're only concepts. I am teaching to acquire the characteristics of the teachers of God. And that is a major shift for me personally. I realize we do not teach what it is that we most want to learn. It may only appear like that, appear. But what we're really learning is trust. Trust is the first characteristic, and of course the one that according to the Course is the only one that we're really responsible for. The other nine of the ten come naturally with the territory of trust. So what we're really learning is to trust in the Holy Spirit, exactly as you're saying now. So it doesn't matter what you're teaching on, the whole idea is to acquire the characteristics of the teachers of God. The only one that we're responsible for is trust. And I thought I wanted to share that it's like an amazing shift for me personally. And that's number one. Number two, you were speaking on Friday a lot on, and this has a lot to do with trust, because while we don't trust ourselves, we see other teachers of God as knowing more or having something that we don't have, putting them on pedestals, placing them on a pedestal, and of course, sooner or later, the one that gets hurt is really ourself, because that's making somebody special, giving them attributes that we think that we don't have. Could you share on that? Thank you so much, Regina.
Yeah, thank you, Dove. Yeah, it's one of the major mistakes that we make. You know, we hear someone and we feel inspired by them, you know, by what they are sharing. But first of all, you know, it's really important to remember that this is an illusion. It really is an illusion. And, you know, it's kind of like I mentioned a friend of mine said earlier to me this week, everything is a lie. And to me, that was just a powerful sentence that has really stuck with me. Everything is a lie. It's just a reminder that I don't know anything. You know, I think this is a microphone I'm talking into, but, you know, that's a lie. I really don't know everything. Everything is an illusion. So when it seems like there's this person who seems to know a lot about the Course and seems to live the Course and seems to really inspire me, what's really happening is in that moment I'm believing in illusion if I'm really attaching all of that to a person. You know, if I'm saying that it's a Regina or any other name, I won't mention other names for now, but any other name, I'm making a mistake because I'm looking at the illusion. What's really happening is that I am a mind, and I am listening to thoughts in my mind. That's what's really happening. And I can only listen to two categories of thoughts. I can listen to ego thoughts, and I can listen to Holy Spirit thoughts. And what's happening when I'm seeming to be really inspired by a person that is talking, you know, a teacher, all that's happening is I am listening to the Holy Spirit in my mind in that moment. And if I can stay with that, I can have all the gratitude in the world. And in fact, I can even go up and hug and kiss the teacher when they're done and tell them thank you. I can still do that as long as I hold in my mind that what I'm doing is listening to the Holy Spirit in my mind. But as soon as I attach it to that person, I then have expectations of that person, either perfection or near perfection. And then what happens is if I happen to get to know that person well enough, typically you have to get to know them fairly well before you see this, or you have to invite them to stay in your house for a while. You have to be around them, you know, when they're not teaching, basically. But if I get to know this person well enough, I might happen to see some ego in them. I might happen to see something in them that I recognize is ego. And if I've believed that they were a person, instead of just the Holy Spirit thoughts in my mind, and I put them up on a pedestal as this great person, as soon as I see that ego, they come crashing down. And the one that always gets hurt when my teacher falls is me, every time. You know, the reason teachers teach is to learn. And in fact, one thing that the Holy Spirit seemed to share with me through insight, I should say I'm not really hearing words very much anymore, so it now comes, you know, through insight. But one thing the Holy Spirit seemed to share with me through insight this week is that we are never done. We are never done. There seems to be this desire within us to become enlightened and be done. And you know what the Holy Spirit seemed to show me this week is we're never done. Because creation is never done. Even the enlightened one is still growing and learning and evolving. There is no such thing as done. I'm done is an ego thought. So whenever we look at someone and we think that they are done, we have expectations of them that they cannot uphold. For us, they simply can't, because everyone is still growing and evolving, and that goes beyond space and time, the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me. There is no such thing as done. The ego may be let go, but there's still a constant expansion, a constant growing, a constant moving, you could call it. I'm noticing Pana said, Ram Dass said, you think you're enlightened? Spend a week with your parents. Yeah. So, you know, we just really need to drop all of our expectations of everyone, and we need to allow everyone the same thing. And that thing we want to allow them is that ability to continue to grow. We want to allow them the ability to continue to grow, continue to evolve, to continue to go higher and higher within God. And we want to allow them that. And then if we just accept everyone at that same level that we're at, that they're, you know, doing the very best they can and they're still going, you know, never imagine them done, and they're still going, then if we happen to be around them and we see a slip, we don't get hurt. Because we have allowed them to be the same as us. And that's the truth. We're all the same. There are no differences. So we want to allow them to continue to grow and learn and to continue to get better and better at these characteristics of God instead of having expectations of them, which are really only going to hurt us. So it is really my recommendation that we never put anyone on a pedestal, that we just love everyone as ourself and only want for them what we would want for ourselves. Any other questions? Because I do feel kind of like taking questions now. I talked about I don't know for an hour. So are there any questions to prompt me along? All right, then if there aren't any questions, tell you what I'll do. I'm just going to look at a little bit of NTI 1 Corinthians. And the reason I'm going to look at NTI 1 Corinthians is because NTI 1 Corinthians is about becoming the empty shell. Becoming the empty shell is all about letting go of everything you think. So I don't know exactly what I want to grab out of here. Well, here's something that looks good. I'm just kind of skimming NTI 1 Corinthians and stopping where my eyes stop. So this first paragraph that my eyes landed on comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "Practice will seem necessary before you are ready to set yourself aside and not pick it up again." And in this case, the word self would, really mean your identity with the thinking mind, everything that you think is true, all of that. So practice will seem necessary before you are ready to set yourself aside and not pick it up again. Do not worry. I will give you opportunities to practice as you are willing. Okay? I will give you opportunities to practice as you are willing. Be willing to set yourself aside. As much as you are willing, I will give you circumstances for practice. And that's really what I see teaching, for example, as coming in here and teaching, which is one reason why I don't overly plan what I'm going to say. Usually when I show up, I do have what you might call an anchor. I know I'm going to be reading from this part of the course or from this part of NTI. But what I don't know is what I'm going to say about it. I have no plan beyond I'm going to be reading from here. And then what I do is I just give the reading to the Holy Spirit. And I know you guys have heard me say this a million times. I give the reading to the Holy Spirit and I ask the Holy Spirit to please help us see what we need to see, realize what we need to realize. And then I just start reading. And when I feel the intuitive prompt to start talking about this sentence, I open my mouth and I don't even necessarily know more than the first few words that I'm going to say. And it just flows. This is practicing letting go of the thinking mind. This is one of my opportunities to practice. It's practicing learning to trust the Holy Spirit. When I come in with just a little bit and I allow everything else to come spontaneously. And it's one of the reasons that I love teaching, because it is such a wonderful opportunity to practice. Writing for me was the same thing, especially writing NTI. Because when I wrote NTI, to me, it's a perfect course, and I used to be a course writer, so I actually know how to judge a perfect course. I used to have to do that for a living. People would turn their courses into me, and I would tell them what was right, what was wrong, and hand them back. So I do know how to judge a perfect course, and NTI is a perfect course, which amazes me because I didn't do any thinking the whole way. All I did when I read NTI and when I wrote NTI is I would read the part of the Bible until I felt that intuitive prompt to stop reading. I would look at my mind. I would always seem to have thoughts about what I just read. So I would let go of those thoughts. And in the beginning, that was actually very hard. I would have to spend time letting go of what I thought I just read meant, letting go of any judgments I had about what I just read. Later, it got easier. I could do it very quickly. But I would just let go of everything in my mind. And then I would just start hearing words, and I'd write them down. And then I'd do the same thing again. I'd read, let go, and write. Read, let go, and write. So there was no planning. I wasn't even thinking about what the last thing was that I wrote when I wrote again. So there was nothing in me that could have made sure there was a flow, that one paragraph went into a next paragraph and made sense. None of that was there. But when I go back and look at it, It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. The paragraphs flow perfectly one into another. The chapters perfectly one into another. The books perfectly one into another. It starts with the simplex, builds all the way up to the complex. You know, it's a perfect, perfect course. But what it really was for me was an opportunity to practice letting go of the thinking mind. And in fact, I knew that even while I was writing. I knew that what I was really getting out of this was learning to let go and trust. That's what I was really getting, and I knew that, let go and trust. So another opportunity that comes up is when somebody calls on the phone for counseling. You know, that's another time that instead of, I used to, once upon a time, when people were talking, I was thinking the whole time they were talking, right? Thinking about what I was going to say to them. I don't think at all anymore. I literally just listen, and I have no idea what I'm going to say, and then I'll feel something kind of come up in me, and I say that. I just say that. So, and you all may experience it in other ways. Those are just three ways that I experience these opportunities to practice. But that's what Holy Spirit is telling us. You know, He understands that our willingness needs to build. He understands that we have to build our trust in the Holy Spirit before we're just going to let go of everything. But He's going to provide us with these opportunities to practice. And as we cease these opportunities to practice, then we learn that we really can let go of me, let go of my thinking, my planning, my control, just trust in the Holy Spirit, and it works perfectly. You know, we're doing that with planning the conference. I mentioned earlier I did that with finding a realtor. I mean, I could probably, if I sat here long enough, think of a million opportunities that have been presented to me to practice this trust process. So, any comments on this? If not, I'll find something else in 1 Corinthians to read. All right, then, here we go. Back into trust, because I'm just scanning until my eyes land on something, and then we will read that. So let's see where we go. Here, I don't know what this is, but my eyes landed on it, so let's read this. Within your mind, oh, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Within your mind, there are many thoughts. As long as you seem to be within illusion, there will be thoughts, because illusion is thought. But within the world of illusion, there are thoughts that lead you to put belief in illusion, and thoughts that lead you to let go of these beliefs. Now, this is important, too, because, you know, the ego loves to confuse us. And we're sitting here talking about letting go of our thoughts, letting go of our thinking, letting go of our thinking mind. And, you know, we might imagine that means complete absence of thought or complete blank-mindedness. But notice that that's not what this paragraph is saying. This paragraph is saying as long as we're in illusion, there will be thought, because illusion is thought. So you're not going to live here without thought. But the real question is, what types of thoughts are in your mind? And it's saying there are two types of thoughts. There are thoughts that lead you to put your belief in illusion, and there are thoughts that lead you to let go of these beliefs. So which types of thoughts are in your mind? So for example, I don't know is a Holy Spirit thought, because it leads you to let go of your beliefs and illusion. I don't know is a good thought to carry around in your mind. And by good, I mean a useful thought to carry around in your mind. Let me just continue. The thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion are ego thoughts. They are thoughts that are based on judgment that what is was made different, and so what is different is what is real. And so, of course, what he's talking about here is metaphysics. That, you know, basically he's saying the truth is always true, but ego thoughts are thoughts that tell you something else is true, not the truth. Something else is true. So even the thought that I'm talking into the microphone is literally an ego thought. You know, that's an ego thought, because it's literally telling me the truth is not true. It's telling me that I am a person talking into a microphone to a lot of other people. And so that's the kind of thought that, even though I seem to be sitting here doing that, I want to have a realization in my mind that what I'm experiencing now is unreal. I just want to hold to that realization that what I'm experiencing is unreal. And if I'm willing to hold to that realization, then I'm holding to a thought that is teaching that the truth is true. So I'm holding to a Holy Spirit thought. The thoughts that lead you from illusion are the Holy Spirit's thoughts. They are based on knowledge that reality cannot be changed. they call you to lay down fantasy and to again acknowledge that which has always been true. So again, just holding into my thought that this is, well, you know what, Cliff, I'm going to talk about that for a moment. I don't know if you're teasing or not, but I don't care because that's a perfect thing to talk about. Cliff is saying, oh my goodness, is that what that stands for? Oh my goodness, everyone in this room is unreal. That's a statement that I would both say is true and false depending on how you read it. What is unreal is the way we're, oh my God, okay. What is unreal is the way we are experiencing ourselves. Okay, that's what is unreal, is the way we are experiencing ourselves. But the awareness that is having the experience is very real. So that's both a true and that's both a false statement depending on how you understand it. What is unreal is the way we are experiencing ourselves. But our awareness is very real. We are very real. We are eternal. We are the Son of God. We are very, very, very real. All right, so let me continue. You are asked to realize that both systems of thought are in your mind now. You are asked to remember that you want to know the truth. Therefore, let go of the thoughts that lead you to believe in illusion. They are not useful to your purpose. They are not helpful to you now. And I think this is what I said that I want to do, because I mentioned to you that my practice so far in the last 3 years has been letting go of thoughts of guilt, thoughts of unworthiness, thoughts of fear, rejection, betrayal, attack, things that made me feel bad. But what I'm really wanting to do, when I say I want to step up to the next step, I know you guys have heard me say that this week, I want to step up. What I'm really saying now is, now I want to start letting go of all thoughts of illusion, even if they seem to be perfectly neutral, like I'm talking into a microphone now. You know, when I say I'm talking to a microphone now, I don't feel a pain of guilt. I don't feel fear. I don't feel unworthy. But it's still a thought of illusion. I want to bring more awareness to the fact that everything is a lie, as my friend put it. I want to bring more awareness to the fact that what I'm experiencing is not truth. And in doing that, what I believe will happen is that I will open my mind to more glimmers of, well, I'll call them the reflection of truth, more glimmers that are an actual reflection of truth, such as feeling love from a towel rack. Or another experience that I had that I think you all may be aware of a few weeks ago was I had the experience for just an instant of being an apple. My awareness actually shifted away from being Regina to being an apple. And I was an apple as my daughter Jasmine bit into it, but I was the apple that she bit into. And I actually had the experience of being bitten into. And what was absolutely amazing about that experience was how it felt. It felt like love, which, you know, when we imagine being bitten into, I don't know about you guys, but I never would have imagined it feeling like that. It felt like love. And in fact, you know, to get really into the details of how it felt as I remember it now, I didn't really feel the teeth touch me, the apple. It was more like there was an energy around the teeth and there was an energy within me, and the energy of the teeth moved through the energy that was me, and it created almost like a dance. A dance between the energy that passed each other. Gosh, I don't know how else to describe it. And it felt like love. It felt like love. But, you know, I don't think we can have those types of experiences. Now, I can't create that. A silly friend of mine said, well, can you be celery? I want to know what celery feels like. Well, I don't think I can be celery because I didn't make myself the apple. You know, I didn't meditate myself into being an apple. It just happened. But I think that these kinds of things just happened as we began to open our mind to the idea that this experience isn't real. As we begin to open our mind to that idea, which is cause, our mind is cause, then we begin to allow the experience that is different than that which we always thought was true. And this is a part of our learning process. I mean, that's what was most wonderful about the Apple experience and the towel rack experience and the floor experience, even those experiences we don't want to put on pedestals, even that is an error, putting those experiences on pedestals. But they teach us. They help us. You know, I mean, what I learned from the Apple experience is, you know, I am not Regina. If I was Regina, if that was my firm truth, I couldn't be an Apple even for an instant. So what I am is something else. And what was also really cool about it is that I still existed. You know, I mean, I was the Apple. There was no death. I didn't die. I just shifted and I was an Apple. But that awareness was still an I. It still was there. I was still there. There was no thinking when I was an Apple. There was only feeling and experiencing. You know, so that's something I learned, that thinking doesn't have to be there in order to be alive, because I was very much alive, you know, and in love as the Apple. I learned that judgment is meaningless, because like I said, I would have thought that being bitten into would have hurt, but there was no pain. You know, there was only this joyful, wonderful love. So, you know, what was really wonderful about that experience is what I learned from the experience that I, you know, when that instant was over, I brought back, and it was kind of like, oh, you know, and it allows me again to look at everything a little bit differently. But unless I'm willing to hold in my mind the thought that this experience that I am Regina speaking into a microphone, unless I'm willing to hold in my mind that that is not true, unless I'm willing to be open to that, I probably won't experience being an Apple. So this is what I personally am opening up to now. I'm opening up to a more alert awareness that my experience is not true. That's what I'm opening up to. And that's my deeper I don't know. That my awareness is not true. I want to have a more alert awareness that my experience is not true. I want to hold to that more because it feels like the next learning step for me. That's the only reason I can say that. It feels like the next learning step for me. I'm still learning that the world is not real, which, you know, is my job. I feel like that's my job, to learn that the world is not real. And this is the next step in learning that. If I go back to 1 Corinthians, let's see. It just says, do not partake of the thoughts that lead you to believe in the world. Do not entertain them as true. Let go of them as soon as they seem to be thought, and you free yourself to welcome thoughts that will seem new. That's what I just said, basically. Thoughts and experiences, I would say. So let go of thoughts that seem to tell you the world is true, and you free yourself to welcome thoughts that will seem new. But we got to remember, another thing I wrote about this week is I wrote, there's no such thing as a miracle. And that was a very important writing too, because I do talk to a lot of people on the phone. So I do understand, you know, what a lot of people are doing within their own mind because they share it with me. I wouldn't know if they didn't share, but they do share, so I do know. And what I realize is that there are a lot of people who want the miracle, but they're not ready. I don't want to say not willing, because they at least think they're willing, but they're not ready, maybe, to change the way they think. So what's happening is they keep thinking the same old way. They keep worrying about the same old problems, and then they can't understand why the miracle hasn't come. And the reason is because there really is no such thing as a miracle. I know A Course in Miracles talks all about miracles. I realize that. But when you get right down to the black and white of it, there's no such thing as a miracle. All there is the law of cause and effect. You are the Son of God. And what you accept into your mind is creating your experience. So if you insist on continuing to think the same old thoughts, the experience that you have is going to be the same type of experience. It's not going to change. But when you start opening up and letting go of thoughts and opening up to seeing differently in a very true way, what's really happened is the cause has changed. And so since the cause has changed, the effect or the experience can change as well. And because that will be so different than what you were used to, it will seem like a miracle. And it feels like a miracle, and it's great. I love it. I call it miracles. I'm not against the word at all. But when you get down to the black and white of it, it's not really a miracle. It's the law of cause and effect. It's the same law that's always been there. You know, it's the same reason you were in debt, if that was your problem, because you were always worried about debt. It's the same thing that had you in debt was the same thing that started having people, you know, send you checks. It's because you changed the way you were thinking. Not really a miracle at all. The law of cause and effect. And so this is why I want to open myself up to a greater awareness of my experience not being real. Because I can't be lifted up to that level of knowing unless I change the cause first. If I continue to insist in my mind that this is real, I'm not going to go up to that next step. The law of cause and effect. If I insist that this is real, then I will stay with the experience that this is real. And if I want to go up to that next level because I know that I will experience more love there, and I want to experience that love, then I have to start opening my mind by letting go of what I'm thinking. And that, again, is why I said I want to go deeper and deeper into the I don't know. And I'm just starting this. You know, I mean, I'm just starting this. So I, you know, have no idea, you know, what's coming, you know, how long it will take, what the Holy Spirit's going to bring me. I only know what I'm feeling guided to do now. And that is change the way I think once again. Change the way I think once again. So I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. All right. Well, it looks like I did it, Dove. I honestly didn't know if I'd be able to, but of course I just put trust in the Holy Spirit. But it looks like I did it, Dove. It looks like I talked about I don't know for an hour and a half. And I don't know if there's anything else I need to say. Well, here's something. I just did a real quick run through 1 Corinthians to see if there was anything here. And I did run across something, Dove. I think because I was talking about you, this jumped out at me. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, you cannot serve two masters. Dove, I know you know exactly why that made me think of you. It says, you cannot serve two masters means that you cannot believe illusory thoughts as true and know true thought also. I think that's a good closing statement for today. You cannot serve two masters. You have to decide which you're going to believe. You have to decide where you're going to put your faith. Are you going to believe what the ego tells you? Are you going to believe this world is real? Well, if so, that is going to be your experience. The unworthiness, the guilt, the fear, the reality of this world. If that's what you insist to believe, that's what you're going to know. But if you want to be lifted up into this higher, higher love where even a towel rack can love you beyond your imagination, and then go beyond that, because, you know, the Holy Spirit says you're never done. If you want to do that, then you have to be willing to say, I don't know. You have to be willing to open the mind, and you have to be willing to let go of everything that you think is true. Because you cannot serve two masters means you cannot believe illusory thoughts are true, and no true thought is true also. You can't have both. It's one or the other. And that's just like A Course in Miracles says when it says you cannot see two worlds. And, you know, of course, what's most important is always following the guidance of your Holy Spirit. You give your willingness, you give your trust, and you follow your guidance, and you trust that everything that is being brought to you is helpful to you. And always focus on where you are now, because where you are now is the step you need to be on to get you to the next step. When you master this step, you will be lifted to the next step. And then you master that one, and you're lifted to the next step. It's one step at a time. So always focus on where you are now and what the Holy Spirit has given you now. Don't worry about those other steps. When you focus on the step you're on now, you will be lifted to the next step when you're ready. Now, are there any questions? All right, then what I would like to do is I would like to go ahead and just play my favorite song. Dev, I have time for that, don't I? I think you said there was nobody after me. I haven't played it in a while, and it's Scott Kalickstein, and it's my favorite song, and I think it was once voted, if I remember correctly, Dev, it was once voted as the favorite song on the Peace of God, which means it's a lot of people's favorite song. It's called You Guide Me, and I think it's a very appropriate song to close a session on I Don't Know with, because if we don't know, then that's really all we have is the Holy Spirit's guidance. So here we go.
Streaming.
Wow, I had my eyes closed while I was listening to that song, and then I opened my eyes, and all I saw were those smiles, those hearts, and those roses, and oh, what a wonderful feeling, you all. You all have no idea. And, you know, and the last thing I want to do is say thank you to you, because I don't know how this was for you, but I do know how this was for me, and I know how important this was for me. So I want to say thank you so much for letting me do this, for coming and listening so that I could teach myself once again, you know, that which I need most right now to help me with what I am working on. So I just love you guys so much, and I'm so grateful. I am taking Tuesday off to go to the beach, so I will not be at Holy Spirit Guides on Tuesday, but I will be back on Thursday for the NTI study group. I'm also here Friday for the manual for teachers, and then I'm here Saturday night again. And this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the secret, but I'm going to share it with you Holy Spirit style, which I am also calling Seek Ye First the Kingdom. So the secret Holy Spirit style, 8:30 Saturday night. I love you all very much. Happy 4th of July wherever you are. Unless you're not in the United States, then just happy Wednesday. Bye.